So right now we have Boots Riley on the line. Boots, welcome to the show.
Hi, what's going on?
Hey, so for any progressive hip-hop head, this person, Boots Riley, needs no introduction. If you just go back to the history of Steal This Album, Kill My Landlord, Genocide, and Juice, as opposed to Gin and Juice like Snoop Dogg, and his new album,
Pam. Well, actually, that wasn't a reference to Snoop, but you go ahead.
Okay.
Gin and Juice was a drink in the Bay Area that was real popular. Spice One actually had some of the first songs that had to do with it. So it really just was a comment on culture. It didn't have nothing to do with that, but so it didn't.
All right. Well, the new album is called Pick a Bigger Weapon, and we actually got a couple tracks on it that we want to hear about. But first of all, you are coming this Friday, Knitting Factory, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Are you going to bring Pam with you?
What did I hear?
Are you going to bring Pam with you?
Pam is threatening to come.
All right. We like those kind of threats.
Pam has a radio show herself in the Bay Area on Fridays.
Okay.
Well, but she has a catering business and a restaurant, and it's hard to get her out, but she says she wants to come to LA.
Wow. So I guess, Boots, the way I want to start is because clearly all your music is laden with an underlying understanding of the system and what is wrong with the system. So I wanted just to start off with the politics. What do you think is the primary contradiction, main danger in the world today, and how does your music address it?
I don't know if you know if I would put it in those terms, but you know, the world is based on exploitation. There's a few people on top that have control of most of the wealth of the world, and they run the world according to making that machine work easier for them. And that has a domino effect on everything else. So, you know, that's the main struggle. Talk about when, you know, you hear people talking about domestic violence on the street. I don't know about L.A., but in the Bay Area, you know, most of the violence that happens from the streets has to do with people trying to regulate their own underground economy, people selling dope, and they can't go to each other. When a dope deal goes bad, because it's an underground economy, because there are no jobs, you know, so there becomes a culture of violence around people trying to regulate themselves while everyone's trying to, you know, scrape and scour for money. So, you know, that's just one example of how everything leads up to this thing, and you know, we can give the same old example of why the war is going on in Iraq and, you know, the battle for, you know, power and money going on there. So I would just say definitely exploitation is the main conflict in the world that makes the rest of it necessary.
So in terms of what you were talking about, exploitation and oppression, I think that's one of the real interesting and special things about your music is that you're actually pro-feminist. I have all your albums. I have not heard, like, a bad word or the support for oppression of women. So what I want to do is I actually have a track queued up. It's the second verse of Where Clean Draws. So I want you to introduce it, and then we're going to play it, and we're going to talk about it right after. It's about a minute clip.
Yeah. Where Clean Draws is a song I wrote for my daughter when she was 4. And it was just something I was going to give to her. It's really for her when she gets older. But, you know, I played it for her. She wasn't interested in play. And now, you know, if I don't play it, she'll be like, oh, you don't like my song anymore. You know, like a show, and it doesn't work to play it instead. So, you know, we end up having to play it most of the time.
All right, so maybe we'll hear it on
Friday.
Okay, wear clean draws. Here we go.
My boogie, baby, now the world ain't no fairy tale. And it's ran by some rich, white, scary male. To make it simple for you, let's call them the bosses. They take money while the people take losses. Though black folks from Africa to work for free. And we still barely get paid enough to eat. That's what I told you I be saying in my vocals. That's why the woman got the gun on the logo. The star is the future that we gon' create, where nobody steal money from the things we make. The revolution take time and space, but you as a woman gotta know your place. That's in the front, baby. I'm being blunt, baby. If they get mad, say it's their time of the month, baby. Your face is just like the sun when it raises. Thank you for adding beauty to my phrases. Handshakes are promises, lies can spoil it. Words should be bound and sealed. Wash your hands after using the toilet. Brush after every meal. And like your granddaddy told me,
where clean draws,
that's right.
So that was Where Clean Draws by The Coup. And we're on the phones with Boots Riley. This is Damon Azali and Tammy Bang Lu on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. So Boots, in terms of that song, I mean, it's the pro-feminist, it's the anti-oppression, anti-system. One of the things that's interesting to me in terms of, if I look at kind of all the progressive hip-hop...
I would like to say that all those labels are not something that I necessarily would put on it because...
Okay.
Because then people... challenged me on some of those definitions. I just made a song to a human being that I love and talking about the things, some of the things that I think thought she needed to know in life, and you know, unfiltered by the ideas of what, you know, by the ideas that are out there that little girls need to know these kind of things, the little boys need to know those kind of.
So
I approach a lot of my music just from a simple place of connecting with somebody.
So, I mean, I guess my response to you is I understand how you're trying to frame it, but I feel like what I get from it, what I think a lot of the organizers and political people I know, they're basically, what they get is basically a reorientation of how people think about how women are treated in society around misogyny. And whether label you put on it, I think what it actually does is challenge a long, long history of misogyny and women hating in hip-hop.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I get, or if you want to call it mayonnaise or ketchup or...
Yeah, I'm just saying that's what, you know, it's kind of like, the only reason I'm bringing the thing up about the label is that people can say, how could you label yourself with this? When you did, if that, you know, and I just break it down to the basic elements, what I'm trying to do, because really, you know, what I'm about in general is people having power over their own lives, and it's different situations that label different things. But sometimes we get caught up in those labels so much we forget what it is that we're fighting for.
So, I mean, this song to me feels like it's fighting for, you know, what is it, the future, the Red Star we want to create? What response do you have from other hip-hop artists, from folks in the community, that you're putting this out? What do they say? Do they say, man, why are you so soft? Or what's the response that they give?
No, people love that song. In every sort of scene that it gets in, people love that song. I haven't, you know, I've had people, you know, just talk about that song that do kind of music, that do music that would get labeled as negative. They love that song. People that only listen to, you know, R&B, they love that song. You know, people that are, you know, I don't know if sexism works as simply as that, to where people are like, oh, I only like stuff that uses the B word. No, nobody is really like that. That's like a cartoon caricature of a human being.
Right.
It's sexism works by, and racism and all of these ideas we get, you know, from the system, are a little more sneaky than that. You know, people, the ideas that I'm putting out there are things that most human beings agree with to a large part. There's, you know, when, a lot of times when I meet other rappers that are considered gangster rappers or whatever, they'll be like, man, you know, know I'm doing the same thing as you. I'm trying to drop that knowledge so that people know how to survive. The only difference is I've had a history of being involved in organizations that give me a different analysis to where my way of surviving has to do with the deeper analysis of the system. Their way of surviving, in their eyes, they're giving, you know, people ways of surviving that they've been taught by the system that is to do next, trying to bring you down. That's your problem. They've been taught that in high school. I was taught that in high school. They've been taught by the system that it's a killer be killed, that it's a, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, sort of, that you need that sort of effort. And so in their mind, they're giving people, you know, some sort of knowledge and idea. But the point is that people like us that consider ourselves part of the progressive movement have not been made the movement big enough to where it saturates people's lives enough to where our ideas are what they have of how to work.
Well, I think there was a lot there in what you just said. I mean, one of the first things you said that you've been in a lot of different organizations, and sometimes for artists, it's really difficult. I mean, one of the great things is that they're able to tap into their individualism and be able to bring out and touch the core and bring out a real creative element to their work. But the bad side about the individualism is that they often, if there's not a connection, that you really need to build organizations in order to make systemic change. And one thing, in looking at a lot of the interviews that you've been a part of, you've actually not just been inside different organizations, but created them for when you've done your music and when you haven't, from Mau Mau Rhythm Collective to Young Comrades to the other organizations that you were brought up in your political work. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, I'm one of the few people, you know, my parents were in the Progressive Labor Party. I then later, long after they quit and have burnt out of that, I joined a later version of that organization, you know, and actually, you know, was part of organizing an anti-racist farm workers union in the Delano McFarland area. I came up around people that were doing a lot of organizing, but you can't expect that's going to happen for most people. We'd have a revolution already if that was the case. But the reality is, I think that in this day and age, so I saw the need for organizations and the need for organizations to raise conflict in certain ways. But, you know, in general, you know, the things that are talked about in hip-hop are people trying to survive. You know, when they're talking about selling dope and slanging rocks on the corner, that's a social issue sort of thing. Even when they're saying this is how you rock some dope up, those are songs that come out of people struggling against the system. Unfortunately, I think for a lot of the progressive movement, when an organization is supposed to be radical or revolutionary, they get out of the business of reform. So we only have reform organizations that are not down with revolution. Then we have revolutionaries that only want to talk about the macroeconomic issues while everyone else is like, I got to get to work to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so so the idea of groups that are quote-unquote revolutionary, quote-unquote communist, quote-unquote conscious, and rap groups that are doing that, you know, are seen as being abstract or not embedded in reality. And part of that is because the organizations that people see that deal with those things don't deal with the everyday needs that people are dealing with. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like, you know, we have revolutionary organizations that are too revolutionary to organize a union, you know, because someone getting $1 more per hour is not revolutionary enough. Right?
Well,
and in reality, that's how revolutions all over the world have come about. It's starting with simple things like that. But we get into the romantic thing. We got to dress a certain way. you know, we got to, you know, wear certain clothes. There's culture, revolutionary culture being created that kind of locks other people out. And while at the same time it does something that's very necessary, we need to celebrate ourselves and what we're doing and the fact that we're committed to the struggle. But at the same time, these rappers aren't going to rap about something that hasn't touched their lives in a real way.
Well, it was,
and it has, but they haven't seen it. It's, you know, like most of the reforms that we have, you know, from AFDC to Social Security came because the government was afraid of a revolution happening. But people don't see that. And so all I'm saying is this, that rappers aren't going to see the need for organization inside of hip hop because we don't see these radical or revolutionary organizations dealing so much with where everyone is individually conflicting with the system on a day to day basis. I mean, you can see more of that. Then we'll all of a sudden start seeing rappers rapping about these things that we think they should be rapping about.
Well, we're moving into another song that we wanted you to intro. It's called Head of State. And you often talk about preparing the soil for change. So what was in your mind when you came up with Head of State?
Really, I needed a segue to come out. I just want to lay around all day in bed with you. That part that happened where, you know, was actually something that I was playing around with. And you know, that's just how things come up on the song. But I thought that it was, when I actually wrote that song, there was a second verse to it. And then, you know, that's reported that it got too late and it was irrelevant. But the second verse, and of course, I went to it with Carrie and Bush together in bed. And basically, the whole idea behind it is that, you know, we have these false dichotomies, this false evil and good, when it's really, with misanalyzation that is still the rich getting richer, and you cannot do that. And I thought it would be good to have an example since, you know, this song is very different from a lot of the stuff that I do. I don't really try to give history lessons in my music, just because that's not the angle that I come from. I'm just wrong, but I'm just usually not motivated to do that.
Okay.
But since so many average everyday people know about what's going on from CNN, I thought I'd give, you know, a different perspective on that.
Okay, well, so let's take a listen. Head of State.
George W. Bush was drinking beer. His daddy was head of the CIA. Now listen up close to what I say. The CIA worked for Standard Oil and other companies to whom they're loyal. In a whole nother land by the name of Iran, the people got wise and took the stand. So the oil companies, hey, funny, this is our oil, our land, our money. CIA got medicine, false info to Iraq to help start the Iran-Iraq war. Pronounce war if I have to be copper. The CIA is the cops, that's why I hate the coppers. Saddam Hussein was a man out there. They told him to rule by keeping people still, saying any opposition to him, he must crush it. He gassed the Kurds, they gave him the budget. Said you gotta kick, protect our cash, step out of line and feel our wrath.
So we're back. That was Head of State by The Coup. Boots, we want to just thank you for your interview, but also we want to just give out the actual date again, which is this coming Friday, the 28th, 8 p.m. at the Knitting Factory. Everybody should be coming in. The phone number, if you want to get tickets, is 323-463-0204.
And opening up on that show are a few groups. I forget all of their names. Two of them that I know are T-Cash and Ice Life. There's another group that is from there, and I'm sorry, I just got told the name. But, you know, it's going to be a good night.
Great. And so, everybody, you should also go out and pick a bigger weapon.
We perform with a live band, and Still Pete, who's also on the album, stuff this thing with us. It's, you know, it's going to be tight.
Okay, so make sure you pick out the new album by The Coup, Pick a Bigger Weapon. I want to thank Boots. I want to stay tuned for more Voices from the Frontlines here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles.